Hello, everyone. It's me, Cosette, and I'm coming to you from California.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Camille, and I am also coming to you from California, and you are listening to the Everything and More podcast. Woo-woo! We are so excited for everything in store. I like to start by saying that even though Cosette and I are both at school right now, we're not in the same room. It's just been one of those Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We're just telling our lovely guest that. And yeah, so just an FYI, in case you were wondering, wanted to know, we're just filling you in. Never leave our listeners wondering. We always want you to know what's going on with us. With that being said, we are so excited for our interview today, everyone. Everyone, please welcome our very special guest, Sarah Diamond. Woo! Applause. Yes, so much applause. Thank you so much for joining us and being with us on the show today. We are excited.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super stoked too.
Of course. Ooh, stoked. That's such a California word. I love that.
Oh, is it really? Oh, I guess California is rubbing off on me. I'm from Montreal, Canada. So
wow.
I don't know. I guess, yeah, the California waves and vibes are seeping in.
I feel like everybody here says stoked all the time. Like,
it
I'm talking
very beachy.
Like,
yeah, I'm stoked
every other second. So I don't know. To me, it's a California thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a Canada thing, Montreal thing. I don't know. It could be new. We'll make it. You'll make it something.
Love it.
Yeah. So yes. We start every episode with our highs and our lows of the week. So we usually go from like not like just these past 2 days, but like the whole like from the last Tuesday to this Tuesday. So
exactly
whatever you have
to expand.
Yeah, so okay. we can start. Camille, if you
yes.
want to go.
I can go first. Well, I'll start with my low, do the build up as I usually do. My low is that I just got a lot of work to do with these finals. Normally my low is, I mean, I guess normally it is school. I feel like I always say that. I love going to school, love college. But like also, this week is probably the most work I've had since like coming to school. Because, you know, finals are coming up. And so that's been a bit of a bummer because I just am very overwhelmed. Had 3 papers due yesterday. So I'm like, oh, no. And I was just really stressed about it. But, you know, that's done. Those are my last big assignments. Have one more and then I'll be home, sweet home. I'll be free. I'll be free from these shackles that they put me in here at the school. But yeah. Oh, also, I found out that I have 2 finals next Thursday and I thought I was only going to have 1. And I thought I would be able to convince my professor to let me take it early because I was trying to go to the Kelly Clarkson show. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able, because Tom Holland and Zendaya were going to be at the Kelly Clarkson show. But now I can't go. So that is a bummer. But my high is that, well, like, because it was going to be a buildup. So we were going to go to the Kelly Clarkson show. And then that evening we were going to see Spider-Man. And I'm still going to see Spider-Man that evening. But like getting the tickets was a struggle. Shout out to my friend Kim. She was a real trooper and got those tickets. And like by the grace of God himself, because we needed 6 tickets. And for the opening night showing that we're going to, we started trying to get tickets at like 8:30 p.m. And at 5 a.m. in the morning, like there were only 6 seats left for that show. And so then we got them and then we're going. So that is a win.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's like me and my friends back home, because I'm going to see Spider-Man like back in Massachusetts because I'll be back home by then. But it was so hard to get the tickets. Like they literally sold out so fast. I'm like, oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I'm not seeing it until the 2 days after, so on the Saturday.
No spoilers. I won't spoil it.
I know. Don't tell me what happened. Okay. So wait, did you do your high yet?
Yeah, that was the high. The Spider-Man tickets. High.
Okay, so then my low would probably be that I got sick last week. Like I had a cold, and on like last Wednesday, I literally slept from like 4 p.m. to 7 a.m. the next day. Wow. Like, I don't
Wild.
Know how the heck I slept that long. I've literally never slept that long in my whole life. But I was just, like, dying. So I'm like, I need to just sleep. And I guess my other low would be, like, we have to do this research paper for our history class. Me and Camille are in the same class. And, like, I don't know. It was just, like, so confusing on, like, how to do the paper. Because he didn't really give us, like, a rubric or anything. Like, he just, like... Mm. told us like what we're supposed to do. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh god, like, god bless the man, because he's old. He's so, like,
and he's nice,
grace given. He's not, yeah. Right, he's nice, but just like, he hasn't put in any of our grades all semester. Yeah. Last week I asked and he was like well, you could just do the math and figure it out. Hello. What? That's not my job. Also, our professors, all they do is put that in line and then it calculates itself.
Yeah. So,
what? I was stressed out.
I haven't been in school for a second, so all this is like, whew.
Yeah, I know. You're probably like, I'm living my best life. Ha ha.
Don't have to go to school.
I dropped out.
Me. I'm on the way. If this podcast blows up, give this episode 50,000 likes. No, just drop out of
school. Oh my gosh.
Put it on TikTok.
Yeah, and then the next week is finals week. So just getting ready for that. Like, I have a couple like big projects that I have to finish up. But then I guess my highs for the week was last week I went to Texas to visit my family. Like, my family, so my aunt and my grandma live in Texas, and then the rest of my family came from Massachusetts to Texas, and we had Thanksgiving there. So that was really fun, like, getting to see them. It's gonna be so weird because, like, I literally saw them like week ago, and then like I'll see them in like a week when I go back to Massachusetts. So
family.
Nice. So what about you?
I'll preface this by saying it's really funny because I used to do this with my parents growing up, where we would do like high point, low point, funny point.
Oh,
ooh. So every night we would, funny point is just like a nice thing to throw in there, you know, something funny that happened during the day.
Yeah, love that.
But I'll start with the low. So the low that comes to mind is the fact that physical health is really great for my mental health. And 6 months or the 6 months before I went to LA, I was like consistently working out and being really like good to myself. And I felt good and my mind was in a good place. And then I went to LA and I just like stopped, and I found every excuse to not be in the gym or outside. And that kind of stuck around for 5 months. So I've been getting back into the swing of it, but it's tough because once you stop, it's like it could be a challenge to get back into that. So the low point is just those days when I don't have the motivation to do it, and I either tell myself I'm not going to do it or I push through and I do it. But just like that low feeling has been a low, I would say. And my high, right?
Yes.
Now I'm mixing it up with what I used to do.
My high.
Is that I've been writing with some friends in Montreal, and we've just been like pumping them out, and it's been really, really inspiring. And it's been really cool to work with some old friends again and get the songs out. And I'm working a lot for pitch these days, so it's been really fun to get into different, you know, head spaces and write for other people, and yeah, so that's been a high.
Yay, that's exciting. Yeah. New music coming?
New music coming. Always.
Yes. You heard it here first, everyone.
New music in January. So super stoked about that. Stoked again. Exciting. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes. We love it. We love being stoked. Now, kind of just to start us off really quickly, we're going to jump into those questions now. Tell us about how you started out and just how you got into music. We heard on the streets that you started this music career when you were 5 years old, or started in the business. So tell us about that and how you realized that you were into singing.
Yeah. So when my mom was pregnant with me, she started a children's record label. And she made songs for preschoolers, for toddlers, for like ABC's Old MacDonald original songs. And when I was around 5, I guess I sang and she realized that I could sing. So she's like, you're going to come work for me. So I literally sang hundreds of songs for free, might I add.
For free. Child labor.
But it paid off in the end because I got my royalties when I grew up. But I started out like that and it was really fun. I loved recording, being in, it wasn't a booth, I was recording in her bedroom, but I loved being in that space. I took singing lessons as a kid, so that was another experience in music. And at around 10 years old, I used to do a ton like activities as a kid. So I would dance and I did swimming. And there were opportunities to join, let's say, the Quebec team. And I would sit down with my mom and she'd be like, you'd have to do 9 hours a week, give up your other activities. Is that something you want to do? And I'd always say, no, like I want to do it all. I love it. And then at around that age, I was like, I love singing. I want to do this all the time. So my singing coach helped me apply for a music grant and I got it. And I recorded an album at 10 or 11. And that kind of, I mean, that was really my start in the music business, quote unquote. And yeah, it continued from there. I joined a girl group for a little bit. I stopped doing music for about 4 years. Like I continued writing and everything because it was therapy for me, but I stopped pursuing music as a career. And yeah, then I picked it back up again at around 20.
What kind of encouraged the stop or like the pause? I mean, you're young, so you have all kind of things going on, but what brought that on?
Yeah. Well, I was living in LA at the time, actually. So I was down there with my mom. She came with me. And I was away from my dad. I was away from my friends and family. And I went through a pretty bad depression being there. Just, you know, being in the business at such a young age comes along with so much pressure and so many, honestly, so many broken promises and so many opportunities that get missed and get stopped and get, you know, there's just insecurities running rampant. And there was just a lot going on where it got to the point where I was like, I'm never going to sing again. Like, even if I want to, I'm just, it's done. I'm going home. I'm going to go into the science stream at school and not the art stream. Like I went the other way. And yeah, I mean, I had to continue writing because it really was therapy for me. So I met up with people in Montreal and we would write together, but there wasn't this desire to put out music. It was just like, I need to write and this is fun for me and all of that. But I mean, I went to business school. Not, I didn't get an MBA, but I got my undergrad in business. I was getting my undergrad in business and then I dropped out. But yeah, it was a lot of that. It was mostly the depression and being away from home.
Wow. And like the way that like you kind of, I don't know, just like used music to get yourself out of that is very inspiring because I love music personally. And I would say the same, like there's a lot that goes into it when I'm like listening to a song and I feel that. So that's incredible that you kind of use that as therapy and to build yourself out of that kind of like rut that you were in. So yeah. Lovely. Thank you, Cosette.
Yeah.
So like how long have you been like writing like your own songs?
I started writing my own stuff when I was around 8. Again, it was my singing coach. Shout out to Samia. She was like, you know, you can write your own songs. And I was like, what do you mean? So, like, so I had a notebook and I think I would probably like journal at first or maybe write poems. I don't know. And the first song I ever wrote was, I don't remember what it was, but it was about the sun, like the sun coming out or the sun, like clouds and the sun and, you know, vary that. But I started really writing at around 14. I went through a friendship breakup and I had a song called Best Friends for Never. That was really dramatic.
I love that.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great moment. Yeah, so I started around 8. So it's been many a years.
Wow. Leak the track.
If I can find it. Oh, Best Friends for Never. You know what? I probably have it on a hard drive somewhere. And it's really so cute. It was like best friends for never. I forget the rest of it, but that was the tagline.
Wow. Heart touched. Because what a relatable experience. I mean.
Yeah. And they're painful. Like, some people say they're more painful than a romantic breakup, which, you know, that can go either way. It depends on the relationship. That. But
been there, done that, you know?
Yeah.
So what was it like kind of just growing up in that space and being around music so much? Like, how did you feel about, I don't know, you said that you loved it, but like also like wanting to explore other things. So what was that kind of like growing up in the music business too?
You know, there wasn't like music playing all the time in our household, or, you know, I wasn't really being introduced to different artists growing up. But I did listen to some music with my mom in the car. There was a Canadian artist named Amanda Marshall, and we would listen to her over and over and over again. And, you know, I had my Britney Spears CD and Christina Aguilera and probably at a certain point John Legend. But yeah, music was always just there. Like, my friends and I in the schoolyard would write songs together and like sing them in a group. And even as I was doing my other activities, music was always kind of there. And I got to a certain age when I used music as a crutch. Like, I literally could not like go to sleep without listening to music, or I couldn't go through the day without listening to music. It was just something that I needed, like medicine. Like, it really, it was pretty wild. But yeah, I think growing up with music was a beautiful thing. And I think I feel very lucky that, you know, I was able to experience that, to have music around me, like not all the time in the house, but enough that it seeped into me.
Does your mom still have like the that record label?
She does, but it's not a label anymore. Now it's just on streaming.
Okay.
Yeah, because in 2009 the business kind of closed, but they kept the digital rights, and that was like right around the time that Spotify and Apple Music and the streaming services were happening. So they pivoted and turned it into a streaming company, and it's great. Now they mostly do music for babies and toddlers. Like, their market is teachers. So the music plays in the classroom, and they use it to teach, you know, algebra, and not algebra, that's too old, but like things that toddlers learn.
Right. Things that toddlers learn. I wish my toddler sister was learning algebra. It would be a lot easier for everyone in the house.
Me too. No.
But so you've talked about a little bit, you know, sitting down, writing with friends, using that as therapy. What does your songwriting process like normally look like, and how long does it like take for you to crank out some tunes?
So I've been really lucky with the fact that I've worked with great producers. So the way that I usually work is, if I'm alone, I'll get sent beats and tracks and I write over them. And then if I'm with people in a studio, someone will get on the piano and start playing some stuff, and I'll, you know, melodies and lyrics will kind of come to me. And it's a process that I can't really describe because I don't know what's happening, but I just hear melodies and sentences that just come together. And it's kind of like putting a puzzle together, where you have a few words and you're like, okay, what would go with this? What's the next part? How do I make this make sense and tell a story? And on a good day or in a good moment, it can take 15, 20 minutes to write a song. On a slower day, it can take a couple hours. Or I can, you know, write a verse and then pick it up again in a week or a month. But if I'm writing a full song, it takes between like 15 minutes to 2 hours, I'd say.
Wow.
Pretty fast process. It just like,
yeah
I was gonna say, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to see like the comparison to other people that we interview, other musicians.
That's what I was,
because everyone has their own like process, you know.
Okay, what are some of the other ways?
Well, our last guest, she was telling us that it takes her quite some time to like really like come together, not with maybe not with a song, but like with a whole like piece of work in terms of like forming it into like an album or an EP or whatever that looks like. But and then some, like some people, because like one of Cosette's favorite questions is the how many songs have you written question, and we get quite a like variable of answers in terms of like someone maybe who is started out young like you did, they'll say like 300 or something like that. And then other people who started kind of as teenagers, more into adult years, they'll say like 60, or like they'll be 30 and 50. And like, it's just, it always ranges. And that it's just so interesting to see how like long it takes and what that process is like for each individual. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. How many songs? I wouldn't even know how to count. Like, I've written probably 70 in the past 2 months. Like, I've really been on like a bender.
Nice. It just means you got a lot to say.
Yeah, true.
That getting is so many songs. I don't know how people they can write that many songs. It would take me like 5 years to write one song.
I doubt that.
It'd take me a long time. So like, what was the pandemic like for you? Like, did you stay motivated throughout it to like write and stuff?
Yeah, honestly, somehow it was a really interesting experience filled with a lot of growth. Like I said, I've worked with a bunch of really great producers, so I've always had that privilege of having someone else record my vocals and come up with the arrangement and the stuff that, and you know, I focus on the melodies and lyrics. But during the pandemic, I was alone in my bedroom, so I had to do it all by myself. So I learned how to vocal produce. I learned how to mix my vocals a little bit. I learned how to be more autonomous in the music process. So that was definitely a big win, I'd say. And of course, there was, you know, some loneliness that came with it. But all in all, I'd say I had a good experience, like nothing to complain about at all.
That's great. Like that. And that's also another thing I was going to say, like, there's a different kind of feel what it's like for each artist in terms of like what the pandemic and how that was like making music for them, because I would say that's really interesting that like you took it upon yourself to be like, okay, well, I'm gonna learn how to do it myself, like I'm gonna figure this out and learn how to like vocal produce and also like mixing your own vocals, like even if you know how to do it in like the slightest, I'm in awe of you because that is so interesting.
And it's I remember at the beginning not knowing what to do, and I'm like, I don't know how to make it sound good, like what do I do? And my friend was like, just play around with it. Like, just turn the knobs to the extreme so that you can hear what it sounds like at the extreme, and then find the zone that you like and compare it to other songs and compare it to stuff that you've done. And that really helped because it stopped me from thinking like there's only one way to do it and like you have to be a professional at mixing to, you know. Right. But it's like, no, you can, you know what sounds good to you. So I just worked with that and yeah.
Yeah, that's so
did
cool.
You... Did you like make like any music videos while you were in the pandemic?
I did. Towards the latter half of it. All very safe. Everyone got COVID tested before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. It was fun to be with people again. I did them in LA, so it was just nice to be in that creative space and to not be alone and to create with others again.
Yeah. Just quickly, like you said you live in Montreal, but you lived in LA before, right?
Yeah. So I lived in LA for almost 2 years when I was 14. And then I spent the last 5 months in LA.
Oh.
And I'm hopefully going back, you know, pending a visa approval. I'll be in the States for at least a year. Ooh, so we shall exciting. See. Yeah.
Do you like LA living there anyway?
I do. I love it because I'm creating songs all the time, you know? So
yeah.
I'm just doing what I love and it seems to be on a good path. I seem to be on a good path. So I'm really happy about that. And yeah, just like creating and creating and creating.
Ooh, that is what we love to hear.
So like you recently like came out with a new song called All Right. So like, what is that single about and like how long did it take you to make it and yeah, just all that stuff.
So the song is about, it's about all the things that I would have wanted to have said to an ex but didn't have the capacity to say because I was really bad at communicating and I kept everything inside and the relationship ended and it didn't really end that well. So it was just like a, it was kind of like a, this like idyllic world, I guess, where, you know, we were still together and we were working through our problems and communicating and making it through instead of kind of throwing it away. So that's like, that's what it's about. And that was actually a song where I wrote the verses first, and then maybe a month later, I went back to it and wrote the chorus. So it was a little bit of a broken process, but I wrote it with a friend of mine, Luca. And yeah, it came really quickly. It was just like he played what he made, the beat. And I was just like, don't die your distance. I'm not gonna make you. Like, it just formed itself, and it was really cool. So
no, yeah, that's awesome. I do too. I
yay.
I was listening to it while I was getting ready yesterday. I was like, sometimes I'm distant. Like, that's so, what a good vibe. And like, it seems a little bit different from some of your other songs in terms of like genre. So like, what would you say your genre is? Because I felt very R&B, like smooth, silky, but like, I don't know, what would you define your genre as?
Well, like with that song specifically, I was heavily inspired by Brandy's Borderline. So there's definitely some of those elements in the song for sure. I would say, and I took a mini course online which asked this question, so I've thought about it. I would say I make soulful pop with R&B inflections.
Wow.
Wow, that's, I feel like, very, I'm in specific. Class.
Yeah, because like, it's pop, but there's soul in there, and there's definitely, I mean, R&B elements. But moving into the new year, I'm making more of a shift. I'm putting out another EP that's heavily R&B influenced, and then I'm kind of taking a shift into more of a folk pop direction, just because it's just naturally where some of my songs have been going, and it feels really good, and I feel like I'm in a place now where I'm ready to say some of the things that I wanted to say that just fit this type of instrumentation. So right. Yeah, it's a little bit of a pivot, but I'm excited.
That's an interesting pivot. But I think that's what I feel like fans love pivots. You know what I mean? Like, because it depends on the direction of the artist. And like, as you grow, as artists grow, like their music changes. I mean, take Taylor Swift, for example. Everybody, like, she's been through quite many pivots throughout her career. So,
and it's not really fair to an artist to say you have to be this forever, because you know, people change and they evolve, and they change what they like and what they don't like and how they feel, and that's all going to show itself in the music. But if you keep someone boxed in, it's not going to sound authentic or vulnerable. It's just going to be boxy. So.
That is true.
Yeah. Have you like ever gone on tour before, or like, are you planning to go on tour?
I plan to go on tour. Manifestation, putting it out there. It's my goal to go on a world tour, opening for someone, doing my own show. I don't care. I just want to tour the world. So that's a goal for sure. I've been on a cross Canada tour a couple of times. So that was really fun. It was interesting to see like the middle of Canada is very flat and very flat. And I went during the winter.
It's flat. There's no people. It's just flatland.
Just flatland. A few people here and there.
Well, is there any artists like in particular you would want to open up for? I always say it on this podcast because it could happen. I don't know.
I would love to open for Maggie Rogers.
Ooh.
I would love to open for Leon. And with my next project, like the EP that's coming out, oh my God, I would love to open for Victoria Monet.
Oh my gosh.
I would love to open for, I know, her music is so incredible, and her writing and her voice, just everything. I mean, I'll throw out SZA because, like, if we're talking big dreams here.
Right.
She commented on one of your posts.
I know. That. I freaked out. I literally screamed outside. Like,
that is so funny because the way that I have been talking about SZA so much in the past, like, week or two. And I never, like, I almost never talk about her as, like, frequently as I have been. And that now to know that she commented on your post. SZA, are you listening?
SZA.
Yeah. I actually didn't, we just, another guest of ours said that they really liked SZA and they wanted to.
Yeah, our last guest did.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Say it when you say it here, because I always say it. A couple months ago, we had a guest. Her name is Charlotte Sands. Shout out to you, Charlotte. We love you. She on this podcast said that she wanted to open for Youngblood, and now she's opening up for Youngblood. So,
wow.
I mean, I don't write the rules, but it's on this podcast that dreams come true. So,
I love that so much. Beautiful.
So, SZA, we know you're listening. We called you, we called upon you last week. We're calling upon you again. You need just several openers.
Yes, several. Exactly.
But yeah, kind of moving forward. So recently you had a music video come out, and there's some big things about this music video for Hollywood You and Me. So let's start with a song. The song itself, it's kind of focused on that relationship of, you know, wanting a healthy relationship and, you know, the toxicity side of being in a toxic relationship. So tell us about that and like why you wanted to put a focus on that and highlight that for people to hear.
Yeah. Most of my songs are about heartbreak. So when I was working with Jonathan Watts and he showed me what he had made, it just felt very positive. And the ideas that were kind of like the I Love You Even in LA, Hollywood's Got Nothing on You and Me came out, and I was like, why not put a focus on the positive partners that I've had in my life, the people that have been really supportive, that have championed my career and have championed what I'm doing. So I wanted to share that for sure. I forget the other question that you asked me.
That's okay. And no, that was the question. That was a great answer. You talked about the song and like moving forward with the video for that song. Like, first of all, a vibe. Let's talk about it. It is very like, I don't know the word. It's just, it feels so smooth. I already said that earlier about a different one, but it's so smooth. It's dark. And then like you get a transition into the light a little bit. Neon, right? Very club, yeah. Like not club, but like, what is the thing that they used to do during the Prohibition? What is it? There's a name. There's like, come on, Cosette, help me out. It's like underground Prohibition? Clubs. Like underground clubs that they couldn't go to. Like a speakeasy. Very speakeasy vibes.
Okay. Yeah. I love that's what that. I felt.
Yeah. That's what I felt from there. Yeah, ooh, that would have been embarrassing one. If I didn't get the word.
Get the turnaround.
For a long time. I would have made Cosette edit that, and I would have been like, cut out the part where I didn't know what it was.
No, I would have kept it in.
I know, but very speakeasy vibes. So tell me how you and Lady Gaga's creative director put that together and came up with that like idea for those visuals.
So funnily enough, Richie and I worked together 12 years ago when I was living in LA. So when he was in contact with someone that I knew, and they put us back in contact, and we were like, Richie, Sarah, oh my God. We had this nice moment. And then, I had this idea for the video of it being neon and there being dancing. Like, that's all I knew. I'm like, I don't care about anything, just neon and dancing. So he took that and he created the video, and he's incredible to work with because he's very hands-on, and he tells you what he wants. And I love that, because sometimes working with directors that just like stay silent the whole time, you're like, am I doing okay? Like, what's going on here? But he was very like talking during the takes and saying like, more this, more that, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I love this. So it was super, super fun to work with him. And it was definitely a different video for me. Like, I had never done anything like that in the past. So I like showed my butt. I checked that off the bucket list.
Love that. Everybody has to do it once, you know? So, hold on. I have to pull up the stats. Want to make sure I'm getting it right. Okay. So, you're our first guest to come on right after the Spotify Wrapped dropped. And I'm curious. How do you feel? 5.6 million streams?
I know. It's from wild.
1 million a year ago. And just that growth.
It's so the 1 million, it was actually 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But two years ago. But because it was the like, I think the 2018 or 2019 Wrapped. I couldn't find the one from last year. But okay. I seeing the number, oh my God, it was crazy. Because you know, I didn't put out that much music this year, but I still put out a good amount. But
right,
it's nice to see those things because it's not about the numbers, but at the same time to see that there are people listening and, you know, people are tuning in and, there you know, are. I make my income from music. So when people are listening, I know that I'm being supported through that. So it's really wonderful. And it's really, it's humbling to know that if you put in the work and you stay consistent with it, that things will grow, you know?
Right. And there are people listening. 1.5 million people. what would you say to those people if you could say anything to them? Like, what would you, if you had to write a love letter to your listeners, what would it say?
I would say thank you for listening. And I hope that your hearts have felt more open since listening to my music and that you've been able to grieve what you need to grieve and heal what you need to heal. And to many more songs together.
But Sarah, thank you so much for joining us and just talking with us. We're so excited to see all those beautiful things happen for you in the future. And if you guys are brand new here because you are a follower and lover of Sarah, well, we have something in store for you. Go check out our Everything and More podcast collection playlist on Spotify. If you check it out right now, there is going to be songs by Sarah. We'll have Hollywood, You and Me. We'll have All Right and many more of her songs included. Yay. On that playlist. So go and check it out. Also, if you're new here, make sure to follow us on Spotify and on Apple Music or on Apple Podcasts because, you know, we just really love that when you follow us because then you could stay notified about all of our brand new episodes and you'll be able to listen and stream to this episode over and over and over again because you love it so much because it was just so entertaining. But yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure or not watching, listening. Am I okay? It's been a day. It's been one of those days. You're not watching us. Let me backtrack. But make sure to share this episode while you're listening to it. Share it with your mom, your brother, your cousin, your sister, your best friend, neighbor. Am I missing
all of the above?
All of the above. So yeah, again, thank you so much for joining us. We love you so much and have a beautiful day, beautiful night, morning, whatever it is when you're listening. We love you. Goodbye.